So, what makes the original Hooters so special? Everybody wants to know our secret recipe. The answer is simple. We care about our people, the food we serve, our guests, and the community around us. We created a unique experience like no other, like watching your favorite team with an ice-cold beer and world-famous chicken wings served by a legendary Hooters girl. What could be better? To us, originality isn't just one thing. It's everything. Hooters, always original.
What time is the WKRP turkey drop? We talk Thanksgiving in this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks to Hooters for their continued sponsorship of what we do here. Also, shout outs to Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers, sponsors of podcasts that I do. We have the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We have the Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast and the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thanks to my sponsors. Happy holidays to all of you. I very much appreciate what you do. And for those of you listening, know that those sponsors pay the bills so you can enjoy this podcast free of charge. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. 3 games on Thanksgiving. And then another Black Friday game, a mismatch. I guess people will think a little differently of the mismatch. And also remember in this spot last year, Christmas, Chiefs-Raiders was a surprise. It was a low point for the Chiefs, and then they righted things and went on to win Super Bowl 58. But so instead of a Christmas Day Raiders-Chiefs in Kansas City, we have a Black Friday Chiefs-Raiders in Las Vegas. And off the Chiefs' latest disappointment, albeit a game they figure out a way to win against the Carolina Panthers, who have been playing more competitive football and have been coming off a couple of victories. Still a lot of questions about the Chiefs, but we'll get to everything from a fantasy standpoint here on a game-by-game basis chronologically with how those 4 games are going to be played on Thursday and then on Friday afternoon. Remember, your Thursday night game not on Prime, that will be on NBC, and your Black Friday game is on Prime. If you haven't gotten into the schedule last couple of years about how that ultimately works. So you go, CBS and Fox alternating the first 2 games between Detroit and Dallas. I'm not sure who has what this year, but they go back and forth. NBC has Dolphins Packers, that game in Green Bay. The forecast is for snow. It is going to be cold. The wind, we're doing this broadcast on early Monday afternoon, so the weather forecast could change in 72 hours, but it doesn't look like Dolphin-friendly conditions. It doesn't look as bitter cold as when the Dolphins went to Kansas City last year and literally had one play to a deep Tyreek touchdown late first half, and that was their offense. But it will not be friendly for the Dolphins, who have been playing better football on the return of Tagovailoa as they go to Green Bay, not catching a weather break. And Friday, Chiefs, Raiders, of course, the only of the 4 that are not in a climate-controlled facility. And I'll do a separate fantasy podcast later in the week that will cover the Sunday-Monday action and specific to those players. Remember, you can ask me any questions you want. I imagine your trade deadlines are coming up if they haven't already passed. And for many of your leagues, this is the penultimate league in the week in the regular season. In my leagues, this is the last week of the regular season. You are coming off a rough bye week, week 12. There's another one coming, so you get a respite in between. But yeah, week 12, I didn't manage the bye week as well as I should have. I knew when I drafted my team, week 12 was going to be a problem. I put some pieces in place to try to avoid a problem. It didn't work. I got boat raced in week 12. So bad on me, but the bye week seemed to impact a lot of people around the fantasy football community in week 12. So here we go quickly. knowing I'm going to give you another fantasy podcast later this week. Early game Lions-Bears. People you can start. Lions, Gibbs, and Gibbs may be an even bigger start depending on the status of David Montgomery. Gibbs had a huge workload in week 12 because Montgomery left the game with a shoulder injury. Montgomery said after the game he'll be good to go by Thursday. What else is he going to say? So keep checking status on David Montgomery if you own David Montgomery. And also from a Gibbs standpoint, look, you're playing Gibbs no matter what, but if Montgomery doesn't play, you're in line for another big opportunity for Gibbs to put up some huge numbers for you to start this very important fantasy week. So keep checking status on Montgomery. If you're a Montgomery owner, you don't want this to go down to kickoff, but at least it's the first game of the day. It's a Thursday. So if you have to sit him or you feel better about sitting him or are worried he's going to aggravate the injury and the Lions can just sit him again, knowing they likely are going to beat the Bears and beat them on the ground with Gibbs, I can understand that. You need a lot of good information on Montgomery to know that you're going to use him. You wish he was healthy in this spot, but you just don't know. So keep checking status on David Montgomery. Cautionary tale here on Amon-Ra St. Brown. A normal set it and forget it. I'm not telling you not to play Amon-Ra St. Brown, but a couple of things with the Bears. One, the likelihood that there's going to be a coaching change and that they're going to continue to lose games. Two, very good pass defense, especially against the opposing number one receiver. And that was on display again this past week with a bad game for Justin Jefferson in a game where the Vikings still put up a big number and found a way to win. Instead, Jordan Addison had a big game. So translation, it doesn't automatically mean that Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to have a bad game. He actually was scoreless last week for the first time in a while. But, and I'm the guy who doesn't go overboard on matchups, but if you were hoping for a huge game from Amon-Ra St. Brown against the Bears, you're probably not going to get it. I was at the point with Justin Jefferson where I nearly traded him before the matchup against the Bears to help me get through the bye week. In the end, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Ironically, the back I would have probably brought in wouldn't have given me enough to overcome the fact that I kind of then look big picture, you know, is one transaction going to be the difference between me winning or losing? Do I really want to trade away the guy who in Matthew Berry's rankings was the number one wide receiver for week 12? But Jefferson did not play well. You can look at various reasons for that, but the Bears have been tough against top opposing wide receivers. So Amon-Ra St. Brown may not have a good game. He's probably not going to have a great game. We'll leave it at that. This could mean some better things for Jameson Williams, who has come back from all of his latest distractions. Very productive. We can't directly correlate what Jordan Addison did last week to what Jameson Williams is going to do this week. But if the Bears are going to shut down Amon-Ra St. Brown, although Jared Goff, better quarterback, more likely to still make accurate throws into a tight window, to Amon-Ra rather than Sam Darnold in Minnesota, Jameson Williams could be the beneficiary. Now, there's a number of other people that occasionally pop up in the Lions passing attack that have a good game, a good fantasy game. They score a touchdown. They have a few receptions. So it's not an automatic that Jameson Williams is going to give you the production Jordan Addison did last week against the Bears. But Williams, I can understand Jameson Williams being a play this week, whether it's a wide receiver two type play or a flex play. It seems we've reached a point with Sam Laporta where, and most of you know, I don't play in mandatory tight end leagues, but it's been a disappointing year for Sam Laporta, and the disappointment just continues. So at this point, he's not a guy that I would be looking at as a wide receiver tight end flex, and he doesn't seem like, even in a mandatory tight end league, he's a very strong start, despite where people drafted him at the beginning of the season and how good he finished last year. Jared Goff, he continues to be one of those guys. You can start him if you want. He's, from a football standpoint, he's leading a team that is now considered the favorite by Vegas odds makers to not only reach the Super Bowl, but win the Super Bowl. You can look at that however you want. But it hasn't translated to monster fantasy numbers. So I would imagine those of you that have Jared Goff, you kind of know what you're going to get with him, or he's one of two quarterbacks you have, and you pick and choose depending on the week. And I think this week, against the Bears and how the Bears play some good pass defense and the questions around Amon-Ra St. Brown's production, you might, if your other quarterback is in a more favorable matchup, you might lean to that other quarterback in this game. From the Bears' standpoint, it's not much, as it hasn't been much of the year. Even in these close losses, it's not like there's a lot of fantasy value out there. DJ Moore is someone you can probably start, but I would imagine he's been a guy that some weeks you play him, some weeks you don't. He's coming off a productive game, but for that matter, so is Keenan Allen. What does that mean against the Lions, who are vulnerable to the pass? So I'd say Moore is someone you can start, unless you look at all your wide receivers and say, I've got two or three that I like better. The game script would probably be on the side of DJ Moore being involved in the game plan. Swift, coming off an injury, wasn't very productive last week against the Vikings. The Lions do a pretty good job stopping the run. Swift might be one of those where you're like, well, I don't have a better option. But if you do, you might not want to play Swift this particular week. And Cole Kmet, honestly, probably, if we're just looking head-to-head tight end, Kmet will probably have a better game than Laporta will. That's something for you guys because, again, I don't deal in the mandatory tight end business. The next game, a bad game between the Giants and the Cowboys. As we speak, we expect it to be Tommy DeVito again for the Giants. That could change at the time of this broadcast. We have nothing to go on that DeVito won't start or that Drew Lock will. We certainly would expect that Cooper Rush is going to start because he was productive in a wild game and a win against the sinking Washington Commanders. Fantasy value in this game, probably Tyrone Tracy. I wouldn't call him a must start, but it's close. Depending on your other running backs, you know, Tracy didn't have a good game against the Buccaneers because the game script was so flipped early on. I don't expect it will be that way against Dallas. So, yeah, I think Tracy is someone who could be a starter for you against the Cowboys this week. Do you want to start Malik Nabers, who hasn't scored a touchdown since September 22nd? He's still very heavily involved in the offense. For those of you that go gaga over targets, he is top 10 in the NFL in receptions. But recently, and with what's going on at the quarterback position and just how bad the Giants are, he is a squeaky wheel. And some people like to play the squeaky wheel, especially in it's not an intimidating matchup against the Dallas Cowboy defense. You saw how Terry McLaurin just ran right through him at the end of the game for an 86-yard touchdown before Siebert missed an extra point. So I stayed away from Nabers all year, draft, trades. I don't think he was ever on waivers because I didn't believe in his quarterback situation. I didn't believe in the team. So I don't think Nabers is a strong start, but I would understand if you look at all your wide receivers and say, I'm going to go ahead and do it because he's still involved in the offense. There's going to be opportunities for big plays against the Dallas Cowboys, but Tracy is the only real strong start in that game for the Giants. From the Cowboys standpoint, you know, I tried to make a deal within the last few weeks with an owner in one of my leagues who owns CeeDee Lamb, and it's a very good owner. He's a former league champion, and from a Cowboys standpoint, I just saw the likelihood that Lamb was not going to be as strong as of a wide receiver one the second half of the season. It's played out that way. It hasn't bottomed out, but at times Lamb looks like he's not playing every play hard or his mind's not totally in it. His numbers are okay. He hasn't had a touchdown since October. So none with Cooper Rush, none with Trey Lance. Back to the trade I tried to make, I tried to convince this owner to do a deal with me so he would be in a better position to compete for a championship. He stuck with Lamb. I don't know how he feels about Lamb's production. His team is still very good. There was someone on his team that I wanted, a running back, in return. He didn't agree. He didn't make the deal. So Lamb's numbers are okay. I think if you've kept playing him this long with how bad the Cowboys are, and make no mistake, even though they beat Washington, they're still bad. This will be a bad game against the Giants of two teams that will look significantly different next year, both likely with new head coaches, then you're probably going to play Lamb. If you've been playing him every week to this point, recent weeks, you're probably playing him this week. I think you know what you're going to get. You can be hopeful it's going to be better. It's, in my opinion, it probably won't be. But it seems like there's a floor there. We've heard about some injuries with Lamb, but every Sunday he's out there. So apparently he has a high enough floor. You're just waiting for him to bust out. But can a bust out really happen with Rush and Lance the way it did with Dak Prescott over the last couple of years, which is why he drafted him in the first place? Dowdle is in play in this game. I don't think very highly of Dowdle, but some other fantasy analysts do. The opportunity should be there. I was even trying to make a case that, you know, it's probably the end for Ezekiel Elliott. It's on the Thanksgiving stage where one year he jumped into the cauldron. Would Dallas try to get him more featured? And I just don't think they will. Will Dallas give him a goal line opportunity just because it's Thanksgiving and because of the history with Ezekiel Elliott on Thanksgiving? Maybe. But that doesn't diminish the workload that Dowdle has had even last week and even catching some balls out of the backfield. So it's not like Dowdle's a strong running back play, but he's a flex type play. Probably below Tracy in running back rankings, but still, I could make a case Dowdle might put up more fantasy points than Lamb in my scoring settings for this game. And obviously, you're not touching Cooper Rush. Schoonmaker has been heavily involved. I guess if you've been just picking and choosing and streaming tight ends, even though there are no bye weeks this particular week, Schoonmaker might be someone you want to look into just because of how involved he's been and his connection with Cooper Rush. Green Bay and Miami. Again, as we said about weather, it's not very Dolphin friendly. So we're coming off a Jalen Waddle breakout game. While the Dolphins offense is good, this is what many expected coming into the season with a healthy Tua. The numbers still aren't there for Tyreek Hill. Have you reached a point with Tyreek Hill where you're going to sit him this game, especially with the weather the way it is, even though he was the only one who scored against the Chiefs last year and it didn't snow and it was just frigid? This game won't be frigid. It's going to be cold and it's going to snow. I don't know if it'll snow like the snow globe game last Thursday night between the Steelers and the Browns, and the weather can change, but it looks like a snow game. I don't think that plays to you expecting a breakout from Tyreek Hill. And have you reached a point yet where even with the Dolphins doing well, you have other options than Tyreek Hill? If you benched Waddle last week, are you chasing points with him this week? I don't own either of those guys. I don't view either. I think the two guys, actually, I don't even know if two is that strong of a start considering what the weather forecast is. But I would understand if that's your quarterback and that's the guy you got, and he's been, you know, he's coming off some good games. But the two strong starts for the Dolphins are clearly Achane and Jonnu Smith. Those are the two that stand out to me. From Green Bay standpoint, some fantasy analysts I respect said in the last couple of weeks that the Josh Jacobs numbers were going to start coming. And they were right. I even looked into trying to make a trade for Josh Jacobs in the last couple of weeks. It wasn't there for me to make. I wish I owned him considering what he did in the Packers win last week. It's now been five or six really solid games in a row for Josh Jacobs. And let's remember, you know, what he's done late in the year, even on some bad Raider teams. You know, it was last season or two seasons ago. This just seems to be the time of year that Josh Jacobs gets the ball and does a lot with it. He's a very strong RB1 start going forward. Jordan Love's numbers are down. I actually played him because I had Josh Allen on a bye week last week. Jordan Love was efficient. I still think it could be better, but let's face it, if they have Jacobs going this well, it's going to reduce the number of times the ball's in Jordan Love's hands, and the Packers look like a playoff team. So I don't think they're going to drastically change this. And as everyone in fantasy football knows, it's been very difficult to pinpoint on a week-to-week basis what Packers wide receivers are going to be the most involved. You know, we had a point early this year where Wicks was a hot waiver claim, and just the other week, Christian Watson had a breakout game. And you had the amazing touchdown efficiency there for a while for Jaden Reed, who is a big play performer. And then this past week, Romeo Doubs leads them of all wide receivers in receptions, but doesn't score a touchdown. So I don't think any Green Bay wide receiver is a strong start in a mandatory tight end league. Kraft seems to be worthy of starting. Probably not as good as Jonnu Smith. But yeah, you're leaning towards the running backs in this game and the tight ends. The wide receivers, it seems to be more guesswork, more you have to feel really good and optimistic about what they are going to do. And I'm not with you there. And the final game on Black Friday for the Thursday-Friday four-game pack, Raiders and Chiefs. From the Raiders standpoint, I guess it's Desmond Ridder at quarterback. I guess in a wild world, Daniel Jones ends up on the Raiders somehow and starts this game. But it feels like it's going to be Desmond Ridder. That does nothing for me. Can you justify, if you're desperate, playing Myers at wide receiver in this game? I guess Myers is an efficient player. He's just on a bad team. And he's clearly the best wide receiver they have. Brock Bowers' numbers went down against Denver, but Denver's a really good defense. So a lot of that was probably by design of the Denver defense. So Bowers is a start in a mandatory tight end league. Myers seems to be a bit of a reach as a flex play. But, you know, if you've been playing him and you don't have better options, I get it if you do, but we're another step down at quarterback and it was pretty low bar in the first place. And at running back, there's a lot of guesswork there. We went into the last game, you know, wondering how much Abdullah would touch the ball. I think he touched it about a dozen times with rushes and passes and even had a touchdown. He may be the best guy out there, but this isn't a bye week. You should have a better option than any Raider running back, including Amir Abdullah. On the Chiefs side of things, Mahomes has been much more productive the last month plus. It's reaching a point where if I would imagine if you haven't been playing Mahomes, he got back into your lineup the last couple weeks and you have no reason to sit him against the Raiders. You don't. Running back check status on Pacheco, who I was disappointed didn't go. That would have helped me in my bye week issues, but he didn't. So it was still primarily Kareem Hunt, although Mahomes had a lot of rushing yards. Hunt has had a lot of opportunities since he got back in the lineup for Kansas City. So if Pacheco is inactive again, then Hunt is a must play. If Pacheco is active, I would imagine we're going to see a split between Pacheco and Hunt, but both are playable. Wide receiver-wise, Hopkins has been okay. You know, he had that one big game a few weeks ago. He's not your strongest wide receiver start. He's more of a flex play type start. Maybe you like the matchup here with Hopkins. Worthy is someone I think has probably spent the majority of time on rosters this year, but not in starting lineups unless it's been injury or bye week. Because he's sort of touchdown dependent with how the Chiefs use him. And a tight end, Kelsey's last, what, month, 6 weeks has been good. But Noah Gray, more and more, seems to be putting up numbers that are worth our attention. Gray still strikes me as more of a DFS guy. But, you know, if you're feeling, what's the right word? You want to mix things up, because I would imagine Gray is not on a lot of teams because how often are two tight ends on the same team fantasy worthy? But is Gray at that point where, look, you'd rather run out a Noah Gray rather than running out some of these other tight ends who you've been trying to stream week to week or every 2 weeks, and they're not getting you in the end zone. And Gray has shown he can, and he's a heavy part of the game plan because Kansas City just doesn't heavily use wideouts, and we've been saying that about them really ever since they've traded Tyreek Hill, but they continue to win Super Bowls. So there's the four. I thought this would be a short podcast, and I lied. I'm sorry, but I enjoyed doing it. I hope you enjoyed listening. We'll give you another one later in the week, looking at games for Sunday and Monday as you get closer to your fantasy playoffs. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com for your specific questions. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Thank you for listening.